Well, over time, we develop certain patterns and habits and patterns of behavior, and some of them are beneficial to us. Some of them are beneficial to the people around us, but then we also pick up other habits and behaviors that are sometimes harmful for us or harmful to the people around us. And this time of year, it's become almost cliche to talk about New Year's resolutions. In fact, if you Google New Year's resolution meme, I'm kind of a meme guy, you will generate 51.8 million results in half a second. And it's just all jokes and making fun of like New Year's resolutions and things. Because statistically, the vast majority of New Year's resolutions don't even make it to the end of January. Like, I'm going to eat better, and you know, February 1st, I'm shoving pizza in my face. So, with 2019 just 2 days away, I'd just like to talk in the next few minutes and help us to think together about this new year, and to think bigger than New Year's resolution, because in this next year, there's a lot of things that you could do, there's a lot of things that you will do, but there is one thing, that you must do. And the thing is that this is not a one-size-fits-all message. This is not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. What you know, everyone that's in this room or watching us or listening online, it is going to be different for each one of you. That one thing is going to be based on what's going on in your life, in your singleness, or in your relationship, or in your marriage, or your career, or your finances, or your retirement, whatever the case may be. The one thing, this is the one thing that if you could figure it out and do it this year, you would be in a much, much better place this time next year than when you are now. And in fact, for some of you, if you got focused, if you got focused on this one thing, whatever it is for you, you could be in a much better place 6 months from now or less. So this isn't going to be new information. This isn't going to be like, you know, me saying, hey, I need to use sunscreen more often. It's no, this is going to be something that you think about. It's going to be something you really already know. And in fact, it may be something that somebody has suggested to you. And, you know, for those of us, you know, we're married, and if a spouse suggests it, like, you know, it kind of goes over, like, in one ear and out the other. But for whatever reason, maybe it was something that you tried in the past, but for whatever reason, you lost focus, you got distracted, you got off track, and you didn't accomplish that one thing. It's different for all of us, but all of us have that one thing that if this year, if we didn't get anything else done or anything else accomplished, there is one thing that we need to focus on this year. And your one thing could be a habit that you need to break. It's a habit that you need to break, and nobody needs to tell you what it is. You know what it is. You know what it is. And if you could push a magic button and have whatever that habit is be gone from your life 12 months from now, you would push that button. It could be a goal that you need to accomplish. It could be a project that you need to finish. It could be a relationship you need to restore. It could be a relationship you need to end. Some of you, you're in a relationship right now and it's complicated. And the truth is, if you could push a magic button and you could just magically, supernaturally get out of this toxic relationship with a coworker or with a destructive person in your life, you would push that button. For some of you, if you're honest, you are that complicated person. You are that complicated person. The person that needs to change is the person that you see in the mirror each morning. And some of you have enough self-awareness to know that. And if you had a magic button that you could push to change you, you would push that button. For some of you, for others of you, it's a relationship that needs to be restored. I mean, it's complicated and it's involved and it's emotional, but you know you need to set up that lunch, you need to pick up that phone, you need to make that call, you need to have that conversation, you need to reconnect. But when it comes down to doing it, there's always something else that gets in the way and comes up because you would rather do something else than do that one thing because it's so difficult. Or it might be a debt. It might be a debt you need to retire once and for all. In fact, it's been hanging around your neck for so long, you can't remember a time you didn't have that debt. Every time you hear me or anyone talk about finances or you hear that name of that stupid guy, Dave Ramsey, you know, every time you hear a commercial about debt consolidation, you kind of get sick to your stomach and you just internally, it's just like you feel terrible, you feel trapped. You feel like you have this conversation with yourself, like, you know, I know I need to, or I know I ought to, but I don't know where to begin, and how am I going to? And if you're a Christian, you come to church, we talk about generosity or giving towards New Life 2019, and other people are joining in on that, and maybe you feel guilty, you feel uncomfortable. You know, you hear us talk about finances or giving a percentage of your income. And you know God wants you to do something. You know God wants you to do something maybe with your giving or your debt, but you don't do anything about it. But your life, your future, your relationships with the people that you love the most could be dramatically impacted if you were able to just focus this year and just get rid of some stupid debt that you've been carrying around. Begin to invest increasingly in the things that are important to God. Now, whatever your thing is, may not have been none of those things that I just listed, but you have a thing. We all do. No one gets a pass because there's something for each one of us that causes us stress or it causes us anxiety. It just something in 2019 that if you don't get anything else done, there's this thing, this one thing that you need to do. So in just the next few minutes, I'm going to reflect on a true story from the Old Testament, one of my favorite books of the Old Testament, Nehemiah, because there is one small part of Nehemiah that if you apply it, it can have an impact on any and every aspect of your life, your relationships, your finances, your career, your education, your future. And just my hope for you is that this one simple verse will connect with that one thing that you need to focus on this year, and that as a result, God would do something incredible in your life, and that come this time next year, you're able to look back, or even 6 months from now, and look back and go, man, look what God has done because I decided to do my part and get focused on this one thing. He was just waiting to help me. So the story of Nehemiah is around 444 BC. It's during the reign of Artaxerxes. He was the first king of Persia. Persia was the dominant world force at the time. They were a ruthless, ruthless nation. Nehemiah was a slave, but he was kind of high in the ranks because he was cupbearer to the king. His job basically was to taste the wine, and if he didn't drop dead, then the king knew, okay, it's okay to drink it. So he was cupbearer to the king. And so he is in the capital, but then he gets word about Jerusalem and in the state of affairs in the capital city of Israel, of Jerusalem, and how the walls are torn down. And it's just laying in ruins for over 100 years after it was conquered by the Babylonians. And he gets this report, and he's just heartbroken for the city, and he just gets so depressed. And there's one day he's around the king, and the king notices that he's depressed, and he's very predisposed towards Nehemiah. And he could tell he's depressed. Say, Nehemiah, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? And he shares with them just about how overwhelmed he is because he's got this burden of this capital city of his people. And so he shares this with the king, and the king, again, was so about this great sadness, and the king was so disposed to him, not only did he just feel empathy towards him, but he decided, not only am I going to give you permission to go back, but I'm going to provide you with incredible resources. I'm going to send you back. I'm going to make sure that you're protected. I'm going to send you back with resources to accomplish this task. Now, and again, the cool thing was that Nehemiah didn't just run away or just take off on his own. He actually stayed faithful to the king, and he shared this, and then this amazing opportunity happened. So now, at this point in history, the people in and around the city of Jerusalem, all they had ever known was broken and torn down walls and burned down gates. That's all they've ever known. And so their entire national self-esteem is tied to this broken down, defenseless city. Surrounding the city, there were some very powerful warlords. And basically, they would just come in from time to time and take whatever they wanted. They would come in and raid the city and steal from the citizens, or they would steal from their crops. And there was just nothing that they could do about it. And so you've just got this despondent group of people, and they've forgotten their history. And Nehemiah shows up, and then when he actually sees the city, his heart breaks even further. He takes time to assess its situation. He talks to a bunch of people. He comes to a conclusion. If I don't get anything else done, I am going to rebuild the wall around this city. You know, there's an economy that needs to be propped up. There's leaders that need to be recruited and trained and put in place. There's all kinds of problems. But this one thing that I've got to do, this one thing I've got to do while I'm here is I have got to get this wall rebuilt, because it will give the people protection. It will give the people a sense of national pride. It will give people a sense of protection from their enemies. So Nehemiah, he calls together all the people from the city and the surrounding region. He gets them together, and he casts a compelling vision. And he tells the people, he says, here's the problem. Here's why we need to solve this. Here's how we're going to solve it. And here's why we need to do something about this now. And this is a huge, huge task. Everybody is going to be required to make this happen, to rebuild the wall around the city. Well, the surrounding people are not happy because this is going to affect their finances and their bottom line. It's going to affect their interests, their control over the region. And so they actually had a leader. His name was Sanballat. And he decides, and he gets all of his people together and said, we have got to stop this wall from being built. So they begin to send spies into the region. They begin to spread rumors. They begin to infiltrate. They begin to try and discourage the people in all these different ways. And when none of that worked, they actually send in armed forces to threaten those that were working on the wall. And so Nehemiah ends up having to divide the men into two groups, where one group of men, they're working, while the other men, they've got their swords strapped on and they are ready to protect and do battle. And so he's got all of this going on. And these outside individuals and Sanballat, they cause lots and lots of problems. But no matter what happened, the wall continued to get higher and higher. And then it got to the point where it was almost complete. The gates weren't yet put in place. And Sanballat, he realizes that his strategy has not been working. So he decided to distract Nehemiah from his work, actually get him outside the city where they can ambush him and kill him. Because they realize if we can just kill Nehemiah, then the rest of the people, they'll get discouraged, and they'll kind of let this whole wall thing go. So that's where we're going to jump in. It's in Nehemiah chapter 6. We find, when word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not yet set the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. So they send a message. The messenger gets into town. You know, Nehemiah's up on his ladder. He shakes the ladder. He goes, hey, I've got a message for you. He comes down and he reads this message. Come, let us meet together. Let's do lunch. Let's have breakfast. Let's meet at Starbucks or maybe Wichita Brewing. We'll get a nice dark ale and pizza. Let's meet together. And then one of the villages in Ono. But they were scheming to harm me. So Nehemiah basically gets this letter and says, hey, let's get together. Let's get together, have lunch, have a discussion, but that's not what they want. Again, they want to kill him. They want to stop the finishing of the wall. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. Now his reply is the same that if you could adopt it in your life, could transform you. It could just transform your life in a big, big way. In fact, you might want to go home and write this on cards. I'm a big Post-it guy, and I have to remind myself, so I've got Post-its like everywhere. Maybe you want to do something a little more permanent. But again, if you apply this, it applies to everything in your life, your relationships, your career, your finances, your children, your parenting. Here's the message that Nehemiah sends back to Sanballat. I am carrying on a great work, and I cannot come down. You tell Sanballat, I'm doing a great work right here, and I cannot come down. Now, I know for you introverts, you're not going to like this at all, but I'd just love for you to repeat this with me. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. All right, one more time. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. There is something in your life. There is some wall in your life. There's some wall in your world that you need to climb up on, you need to get focused on, whatever the task is, whatever the thing is that God has given you to do, you know in your heart what you need to do. And you need to say with Nehemiah, right here, in this spot, in this relationship, in this work, in this part of my life, in this part of my profession, in this part of how I care for my body, how I care for the people around me, it's time for me to stop putting it off. It's time for me to stop coming up with a million excuses of why I need to avoid this or fill my life with distractions that just enable me to avoid it. It's time for me to get serious about this one thing. I am carrying on a great work, and I cannot come down. I must and I will stay relentlessly focused. Nehemiah went on to say, why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Why should I stop this thing? What does meeting with you do to contribute to this great work that I am focusing on to accomplish? Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. In other words, you know, they keep sending messengers saying, hey, you know, how does your schedule look tomorrow? Check your Outlook, check your iCalendar, get your people to call my people. I mean, surely there's a time where we can meet. I mean, come on, Nehemiah, you know, just for a short lunch, just let us know. We'll meet you anywhere, anytime, just let us know. And every time they invited him away from this thing, every time they invited him away from the wall, off the wall, he would send the same message. I am carrying on a great work and I cannot come down. I am carrying on a great work and I cannot come down. And here's what's so significant about this for us today. If Nehemiah had come off the wall and met with Sanballat and his friends, he would have died. They would have taken his life. Do you understand that there are things in your life that if you don't give attention to, they can ruin your life? There are things that if you don't focus on, it can ruin your life. There are things relationally that if you don't give focused attention, it has a potential to destroy, or to use Nehemiah's term, kill your relationship, kill your marriage, kill your relationship with your kids. Kill your relationship, your future relationship with your kids and possibly even your grandkids. There are financial things that if you don't give focused attention to and say, I am staying on this ladder until I finish this wall, they have the potential to ruin you financially. Some of you are facing that right now because you didn't pay attention to a breach in your financial wall. Some of you, at some point in the past, maybe just this year, things have begun to crumble. There are some things that have the potential to actually kill you if you don't pay attention to them. Some of you, and you know this, you have bad or horrible eating habits, and you're killing yourself. I have watched friends and family members that I love face all kinds of health issues, and I've stood by their caskets far too soon because they would simply not address this thing that was harming or even killing them. This lack, this eating habits and lack of exercise and self-care. I mean, some of you, your idea of a vegetable is a sautéed mushroom on your double mushroom and Swiss burger, which I totally get. I would take that over a stack of broccoli any day. But here's the thing. Be honest, you know, for some of you, like physical exercise, you know, like I'll pay the membership fee, but I'm not going to darken the door of a gym. You know, ain't nobody got time for that. You know, some of you, you have health challenges right now, but when it comes to physical health, it's just like, I'm going to ignore it. You know, I'm just busy. I'm too busy to give attention to that. I'm not going to look. I'm not going to go to the doctor. I'm not going to step on the scale. I'm not going to go get my blood pressure and blood sugar checked. You know, and God forbid your spouse or your child should bring it up again and you change doctors. And it's like, you know, it's all going to work out or I'll get to it someday. But you're ignoring a fundamental wall in your life that needs to be addressed because it's already costing you and those closest to you. That if you don't pay attention, it could eventually take your life. You might say, Chad, this is not really church stuff. It's not spiritual. Of course it is. Because God gave us our bodies. It's even referred to in the New Testament as the temple of the Holy Spirit. And how we feel physically and feel health-wise, it affects every person, every relationship in our life. And for some of you, you know your wall is this area, but you're choosing to avoid it. For some of you, you're young parents. You've got babies or small children at home. But then there's all the distractions of life, and especially when you're young, you're trying to move forward in your career and get that next job and make more money and advance. And maybe tonight you need to stand and reach into the crib or sit on the edge of their bed and stroke their hair and just look at them and say, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. There's a lot of things with my career and my leisure time and my hobbies with making more money. There's a lot more hours that I could pick up. There's a lot more things I could do, a lot more trips that I could take. There's a lot, you know, I could be gone two or three more nights a week. But what God has called me to do at this stage in my life, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. For those of you teenagers, you know, you have to walk in at night when they're asleep because they get a little weird about these things. You know, so when they're sleeping and you just look at them, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. You know, men, you have that picture of your wife or your wife and your family. It's on your phone or maybe even it's on your desk at work. It's your computer wallpaper or whatever it is. And you look at that. You go, I am doing a great work. I'm doing a great work. And yeah, again, there's more trips I could take and more hours I could work and more money that I could make and more advancement opportunities that I could chase. And yeah, I could be away from home 2 or 3 more nights a week. I could be busy, 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 but right there. I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. And ladies, you need to look at your husband. You say, he is the work. He is a piece of work. And I get that. I know we need your help, right? You know, so, but there's a significant role. There's a significant role that you play that only you can play. And it's so easy to get distracted by all of the things that concern you and worry you and overwhelm you when the greatest thing that you have to offer that only you can truly offer is the love and encouragement that only you can offer your husband and your children. Every one of you in this room, you're smart enough. You know what your one thing is. You know what it is for you. You know what I'm talking about. You know where the breaches are in your wall. You know the great work and the opportunity that you have to do, the opportunity to focus on. We know the relationships that need our attention. We know the destructive habits that are in our life that maybe we think nobody else knows about. And maybe they don't. Patterns of behavior that exist in our life. The challenge for you in this coming year is, will you climb on that ladder and get on that wall and not come down and finish that work? Till you finish what you know in your heart needs to be done, what your Heavenly Father may have made clear to you, this is what needs to be accomplished in your life. Nehemiah's refusal to come down, it didn't discourage his enemies and his detractors. In fact, they just tried all these other different ways to derail him. One of the things that they did was started a rumor that they hoped would get back to the king. They started a rumor that Nehemiah actually was building the wall in preparation to set himself up as king and for him to rebel against Persia. And they were hoping that Nehemiah would get concerned that the king was going to hear about this, that he would come down off the wall and actually leave the city to go back and defend himself and explain to the king that this wasn't true. Nehemiah hears about these rumors and he just shakes his head and says, I'm not leaving this wall. I'm not leaving this wall until it's finished. And when that didn't work, they tried to trick him off course. They even coerced a so-called friend of his to have him come over. And the friend tells him, hey, you need to know there are people in the city. They've grouped together and they're going to kill you in your sleep. So we need to get you out of here and get you to safety. And he looks at him and says, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. And even if it's true, I don't care. I'm not leaving. I'm going to finish this wall. I am not coming down. I'm not going to let the rumors pull me off. I'm not going to let the opportunities pull me off. I'm not going to let the threats pull me off. I'm not going to let my fear of the king pull me off. And the book of Nehemiah tells us that in 52 days, with rubble that had laid there for over 100 years, in 52 days, they completed the wall, set the gates. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. And the powerful thing about the book of Nehemiah is that there's no miracles in the book of Nehemiah. Not one. Like, it wasn't that they woke up one morning and part of the wall was just like magically done, or that there one day the enemies were coming around and like fire came down and killed them and took them out. There's none of that. All there is a group of men and women who had a vision for this thing that needed to be accomplished, and they would not come down. They would not give up. This was a leader who understood we need to be fiercely focused. I cannot come down from the wall. And God honored their hard work, their commitment, and their discipline. God honored Nehemiah's leadership. And the day came where it was almost miraculous. Almost enough that everybody understood, even their enemies, there's something going on here bigger. This bears the thumbprint of God. Now, I'm smart enough to know that 25 minutes of this is not going to be some miracle button, and all of you are going to go home and do this. In fact, right now, you know, would be an appropriate time to just kind of bring it home and have a closing song and pray and send you home, and nothing would change. So I'm going to dig just a little more, maybe to irritate you and make you mad. Because I love you too much and you matter to God too much. Debt. For some of you, that's your wall. It is time to stop living beyond your means. It is time to start to back it off, let go of some things, and start eliminating some debt because it's killing you. And it's harming and maybe even killing your relationships. Giving. Some of you, that's your wall. It's like you hold every penny so tight. And you're not a generous person. And you're tired of feeling guilty about it and struggling with it. And as I've said, like, it doesn't mean you have to give here. Give somewhere. But begin to start being generous. And you keep praying, God, help me be generous, be generous. The way you get that prayer answered is you write a check to somebody, to some organization you believe in. And then you do another one. And then you do another one. And you begin giving. For some of you, your wall this year is time wasters in your life. Just 2 weeks ago, I was talking with somebody, and she told me how working on something, and sat down, I'm going to take a five-minute break and just kind of look at my phone, and an hour went by scrolling. Because you just get sucked in. And your wall this year is like, I am starting to remove this or hone it or schedule it, whatever you need to do, but that's your wall. For some of you, it's your health. And you've known it, the people around you, they talk to you, they encourage you, you know, less grease, more green, whatever it is. And that's your wall. Anger. You know, for some of you, the people around you, it's like they walk on eggshells because like one wrong word or misstep and they fear you're going to blow up. Your wall is to deal with your anger. For some of you, it's your marriage. And maybe one person in the relationship has brought up maybe going to marriage counseling. It's like, my wife and I, we've been like 4 or 5 times in our 30 years together. And I'm definitely more open. My wife's an introvert, and it's like I'm a private person, I'm a personal person. So for her, that was very hard. But man, for you, it's like that's the thing. Because I keep trying to do this on my own power, my own strength, and my own smarts, and my own wisdom. I pray and I pray and pray, but it's time to meet with a professional and to get some help. For some of you, it's an addiction. You drink too much. You know how you drink too much? Somebody's told you, you drink too much. Like, I don't drink too much, I pay. For some of you, it's porn. Statistically, almost half of you in this room are listening. You struggle with porn. You're not alone. But that's your wall. It's time to deal with it. Some of you, you're working too much. You're neglecting the important people that God has put in your life. You're neglecting your health. You're neglecting because the means to an end has become an end in itself. And this year, that's your wall. What is it in your life that maybe you would say, if I could push a magic button, it would be gone. Or the people around me that I love that are in my life, they would love to see be gone from my life. Or that you or they would love to see added to your life. Something that needs to be added, something that needs to be replaced, something that needs to be redirected. It is a decision that you have to make, and nobody can make it for you. Nobody can get you to do it. But it is going to take that Nehemiah-type determination to stay on that wall and to not give up until it's dealt with. I am carrying on a great work, and I cannot come down. The interesting thing to me is that I feel like in some ways we're God's wall that he's working on, that he's seeking to build up, and he's determined. He's not going to stop. But there has to be our part to receive it, to respond to it, to take action. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. This song I don't think we've sung it here since we started. It's just called One Thing. How appropriate. But there's this one in the front end of the song is this verse. Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant through trial and change, because that's what we're talking about this morning, is change. One thing remains, your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. You have a God, we have a God that's invited us to call him Heavenly Father, and he cares for us. And so this is something, whatever your one thing is, you don't have to do it alone. This is something that God will help you with. And here's the other thing that I know. God has positioned people in your life right now that they're just at the ready to help you, to support you, to encourage you, to cheer you on, to help hold you accountable, whatever it is. God will help you. And there are people around you. And you have no idea what hangs in the balance of you accomplishing and doing this one thing, relationally, financially, that you just say, I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. So whatever your one thing is for 2019, my prayer is that for you and for us, that we would walk out those doors. New Year's Day has still got a couple days, so you've got 48 hours to think about it. And maybe your one thing is going to be where you're not going to go New Year's Eve. I don't know. But that you would focus on this one thing, and then when the enemy begins to whisper and try and distract you and derail you and to get you off, that you would whisper back, I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Let's pray. Father, I pray for all of us in this room, those who are listening, because our one thing for us is difficult. If it weren't, we would have done it by now, and we wouldn't be thinking about it or wrestling with it. And so, Father, I pray for, again, for every one of us, that you would help us to be clear on what it is, and that, God, that you would, through however it is, just that supernaturally, that you strengthen us, you encourage us, you keep us relentlessly focused. I pray, God, that we would identify the people in our life that we need to invite in and trust with that, whatever that thing is that can help us get across the finish line. I just pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.